This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Here's Matt Perrault.
What a day. O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Make your tax refund go farther at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you've been delaying some much-needed car maintenance, delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on your vehicle now and save on expensive repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts has exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Okay, so we are going to get Chris Manning from Fear the Sword, SB Nation's Cavalier site, here in just 1 second, but the Cavaliers, according to Brian Windhorst, did not get a commitment from LeBron James that he will stay past this year. They did these trades without that guarantee. The team did take a $28 million hit today on their roster by adding that much money, and they traded away their first-round pick next year without LeBron James saying, "I'm staying." So was this move made to keep LeBron? Or was this move made to ensure the team to be successful next year without LeBron? Chris Manning, Fear the Sword, SB Nation, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. We go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline, which is rather apropos. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Chris, are you breathing right now?
Yeah, I've had a lot of coffee today. I knew I always do on deadline day, but this is a lot. It was just one thing after the other. I didn't believe the Wade thing when it came through. I thought someone was screwing with me, but here we are. This Cavs team is completely overhauled in the span of an hour, and we still have over an hour until the deadline actually wraps, and the Cavs could still do something else. So,
all right,
it's going to be interesting.
Everyone's traded but Kevin Love. And the Cavalier fans and NBA people have been trying to get Kevin Love traded from Cleveland for 4 years. When it's all said and done in an hour and 18 minutes, is Kevin Love still a Cav?
I think so. I think it's crazy that he's the last guy standing. I have to go back and do a full roster audit to see how this roster changed since the title, but he's the last guy standing. He was the guy who hugged LeBron when they won the title first, and then he's somehow still the last guy here. But I think just with his injury, with how much else that would be a really big issue if they didn't move on from him right now. I think it'd be hard to get equal return for him considering his injury. I think he's still on the team in an hour.
Yeah, Chris, there's so much to get to, so I kind of want to go deal by deal here because there's just I still can't believe the Hood and the Hill deal. I think Kobe Altman just did a NBA trade cartwheel. Can't believe what he just did, but I can't believe he traded Isaiah Thomas. So for Kyrie Irving, the trade now to send Kyrie out, how bad does that trade look in hindsight now that Isaiah is a Laker?
You know, I think we can look at this two ways. I think the first way you can look back and see the Cavs probably should have just tried to make it work with Kyrie. I mean, I think there's a piece written, you know, by ESPN about how the Spurs handled LaMarcus and how the Cavs handled Kyrie the exact opposite way.
Right.
So maybe like they should have just tried to make it work. And LeBron, per some reporting we've read recently, indicates that that's what he wanted. But at the same time, it was clear that what they got for in that Celtics trade wasn't working. Isaiah wasn't working. The locker room stuff was, in its own right, just an utter disaster. You know, having been in the locker room, it was always very awkward. But waiting for him to say something, it was very tense. You know, Jay Crowder wasn't playing very well, and you improved on all those guys, and you kept the Nets pick. So I think the duality of this is the legacy of that trade is yes, maybe they should have kept Kyrie, but I think they pulled the plug on these pieces at the right time, and I think they're better off right now as a result. Even if they're not, maybe they still would be better with Kyrie, but compared to where they were, I think they're in a better spot.
Yeah, I don't think there's any debate they'd be better with Kyrie Irving. But I think in terms of who just got traded, they've gotten rid of Jay Crowder. They got rid of Isaiah Thomas, two guys that were key members of that trade. But they kept the Brooklyn pick, and they've not moved that yet. They traded their own pick, but they've not moved the Brooklyn pick, which I think is still pretty big for next year. Iman Shumpert is gone. Derrick Rose has been sent out, self packing. Now Utah just announced they're going to most likely buy out Derrick Rose, so he'll be a free agent. Dwayne Wade being sent back home to Miami is a nice tip of the cap. I got to say this, Chris, I'm really impressed with Kobe Altman. Are you?
Yeah, I 100% am. I think they did a lot right here. I think they got, you know, and I think the initial reaction for me, at least, in giving up a first-round pick and only getting Clarkson and Nance, I was a little lukewarm on that first deal, but when you look at what else they got guys in George Hill and Rodney Hood who are shooting 40% from three-point this year. One of them is at 45, one of them is at 40. And you play them with LeBron James, they're going to get more open looks. We know that's how this works. You know, you still have Kyle Korver, you still have a good rotation, and you got younger guys, you got guys that are on fairly reasonable contracts. You got guys that are good defenders and are long and aren't have issues defending, and now you remade your team without giving up your best asset, without having to give up Kevin Love to do it. And I think there's things they'll miss about the guys that left, especially Channing Frye, but I think everything that they've done in getting, I think you have to feel good about it. And I think Kobe Altman and Dan Gilbert, because we know Dan Gilbert's involved in this to some degree, you have to feel good about everything they did. And with Wade, you know, we're seeing now that you know, he was kind of told his role was going to go down, and this is kind of a get him a happy kind of move. LeBron's consultant, and I think that works out itself too.
Chris Manning, Fear of the Sword, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. So according to Brian Windhorst, LeBron James was not consulted on this. Does that tell you that Dan Gilbert is the one pulling the trigger here? He's calling the shots. They're not consulting LeBron. Kobe Altman and the owner are going to retool this whole roster, and LeBron's going to do whatever LeBron wants to do next year?
You know, I think that doesn't surprise me that, you know, LeBron wasn't consulted by Gilbert and Altman, just because we know there's some friction there. I don't think he has the same trust in those guys that he did David Griffin, especially with Dan Gilbert putting his input on things more than I think he was before. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also we have to kind of – I think when talking about LeBron's future, we can look at, you know, the Lakers clearing out the cap space. We can look at the Cavs kind of having, I think, a slightly – they don't feel as dead after this season now based on what they have here, based on who they acquired and the youth of some of those guys. I think we have to kind of wait and see how this does. I think you can look at this and kind of argue on both sides that they feel good. But I also do think that keeping the Nets pick and getting guys that are young and, you know, Larry Nance is younger, Clarkson's younger, Hood's younger, even if they're coming up on contracts or in the middle of fairly expensive contracts for what they do, I think the Cavs also are like, yes, like we're not going to go all in on older guys, kind of like the Heat did at the end. I think what they did here is win now, but they also have some flexibility moving forward without giving up that Nets pick.
Well, Chris, in terms of this roster and in terms of where this team goes this season, do you trust Tyronn Lue to be able to put these pieces together?
You know, I do. I think Lue is a better coach than people give him credit for. I think he has some limitations. I think you know, he's not the way he talks about things, I don't think instills, because he's just kind of a reserved guy. I don't think he instills, you know, a lot of confidence in through public what he says publicly, but I think he's got more to sleep. I'd like to see him make some adjustments. I think this roster is so different now, they have to make some adjustments, and what he does will kind of be a test of what his malleability is as a coach, but yeah. Anyway, I think he's a better coach he's been given credit for, but this would be a time for him to prove it.
You know, I'm looking at this roster, Chris, and I'm looking at all the wings and the athletic ability. Are you sure Kevin Love fits?
I think he does. I think if you look at, you know, he's so. I think playing him with either Nance or Tristan Thompson as a five, I think makes sense. I think even though the defensive limitations are definitely there, I think him as a small ball five is still something they should use. Before he got hurt, they kind of went away from it a good amount, right. But I think he still fits. And he certainly has his limitations. Teams are going to attack him in the pick and roll. That stuff is not going to change, but his spacing is still going to be valuable. His rebounding in particular is going to be very valuable. And I think Kevin Love is a guy that still has a lot of role to play. It's going to be, and it'll just be very tough now because he is out with an injury. And when they bring him back, it's going to have to be a very quick acclimation process with guys he's never really played.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Chris, get you out of here on this. Next year, is LeBron James a Cavalier?
I think so. You know, I think when you look at how the Paul George situation is going in OKC, that and especially with DeMarcus Cousins' injury, I think it's hard to see who exactly that second guy would. The obvious second star would be for LeBron in LA. And you know, that maybe they'll re-sign IT and LeBron will not want to go there at all. But I think when you look at what the Cavs have, they'll have some flexibility. They'll have still Kevin Love, still other guys, and maybe that Nets pick could, maybe some guy becomes available this summer and the Nets pick becomes valuable on draft night. I think my gut tells me LeBron is going to still be a Cavalier, but that's still along with Wayne, and a lot could happen between now and then. That's always my caveat with LeBron.
Yeah. You don't cross Kobe Altman. Don't cross Tyronn Lue, I guess. If you're Isaiah Thomas or another veteran, don't speak out of turn and you'll get shipped out, which is what happened today with the Cavaliers. Chris, good stuff. Appreciate the time. We got an hour to go. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That's Chris Manning, Fear of the Sword, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. Isaiah Thomas shouldn't – he talked out of turn. That's the bottom line about Isaiah Thomas is he talked too much. He felt like he had the same gravitas, if you will, in Cleveland that he had in Boston, and he didn't. And Sacramento to Phoenix, Phoenix to Boston, Boston to Cleveland, Cleveland to Los Angeles. I love Isaiah Thomas. I really do. The NBA, they clearly don't. They clearly don't know what to do with him, and he can't find a home. And he's sick and tired, I'm sure, of being traded, but I'm not so sure L.A. ever puts him in uniform. And if L.A. buys him out and he becomes a free agent, where does he go? That's a great question. I don't know. We know Dwayne Wade's going back home. I don't know how, other than shedding salaries, because they were big, Hood salary's big, Hill salary's going to be big. Other than that, I think Altman completely fleeced Sacramento and Utah to get those two players. So, bravo, Kobe Altman. So far, the biggest winner of Thursday is Jimmy Garoppolo. Why? He's the highest paid player in the NFL today. Number two, though, closely behind, is what Kobe Altman just did here today with the Cavalier roster. Really, really impressive. A lot more to come. We are 1 hour and 9 minutes away from the NBA trade deadline. The last hour of the show might be loopy. We've had a crazy run. Might it get crazier? ESPN Radio.